Praise God. It just wouldn't be the same if you didn't have at least one like that every Sunday morning. You know what I mean?
Yes.
We need that. In our Christian life, we need that. A song like that where we can just sing and just rejoice and just sing out all the words of the salvation of our souls and what we have in Christ Jesus. We need at least one of those every week. What a blessing. Well, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. It's been a blessing to be here already. I surely could go home, having been warmed and filled and excited already. But the Lord has more for us this morning, I trust, by His grace. We want to welcome the many visitors that are here with us today also. One of the brothers in the back mentioned to me while the children's lesson was going on, where do all these people come from? Well, I'm not sure. I think some of you are here because of couples night and the others, I don't know, but we're very grateful for every one of you to be here. We count it an honor that you would choose your Sunday morning time to be here with us. Well, this morning I'd like to bring a message that has been on my heart for a while. I'd like to entitle it Assembly Life. And I'd like to clarify just a little bit what I mean by that. Those times in the life of the church when we assemble together. I entitled it that way rather than church life because I believe that church life transcends into every other area of life. And it's when we're here at church, here gathered together, but it's also when we're at home. It's when we're working together, when we see each other in the store, and all kinds of different areas of life. That is church life. But this morning I'd like to speak about assembly life. Most specifically, the times when we gather together. A Sunday morning, just like this, or an evening. A special meeting, like we had on Friday night and on Thursday night. Maybe the gathering of the cell groups on a Wednesday night. Or even a small assembly in your home on a Sunday evening somewhere. Two or three couples. Assembly life. I believe that assembly life was designed by God to be some of the most meaningful, rewarding, enlightening times of our Christian life. When we have opportunities to gather together like this in a corporate expression, God has designed it so that His people get together in meetings just like this. Now, He has other designs also, but He has designed it so that His people get together in a corporate expression just like we are here this morning. And God designed it with many things in mind. There are many needs that He would like to meet in our lives that get met in meetings just like this. Question was asked to me recently by a couple. It was a remnant family. And they asked a sincere question and my heart goes out to people like this couple right here. You know, they're by themselves and they don't want to be by themselves, but they're by themselves and they're struggling with trying to determine what to do. But they asked me this question. Can you be alone and make it in the Christian life? What is your recommendation, Brother Denny? Can you be alone and make it? Well, my answer to them was this. Yes, you can. Yes, you can the whole time. But you're going to miss many, many things that God has designed for your life. You will not get them by yourself in the same way that you can if you're together with a group of people. Yes, under some circumstances, you can make it without an assembly. The persecuted brethren in Romania and Russia and other places would testify to that. That you can make it without an assembly. However, they missed some things. There was some balancing in their lives that they didn't get. There were some times of rejoicing that they missed while they were there in that prison house. Yes, God took care of them. And yes, God will take care of the remnant who are around this country by themselves, or maybe two, or maybe just three. God will take care of them. But there's some things that they will miss also. Assembly life. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 for the first reading. Two basic portions of Scripture I'd like to read. First one being in Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 22 through 26 of Hebrews chapter 10. And I'd like us to notice, before we read these verses, let's read it in the context of assembly life this morning. You'll find one verse in there that speaks about assembling together. And I'm not saying that the whole context is assembly life, but I believe that we can gain some application out of these verses if we'll read them in light of assembling together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Notice the plural pronouns that are in this text as we read it this morning. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. That's an interesting little combination there, isn't it? Those two verses. You know, in the background that I had, and as I grew up in my Christian life, verse number 25 was used often. And I praise God that we don't need to use it the way that it was used on me in the church setting that I was in. But it was often used to make the people feel bad for skipping church. Constantly we heard this verse. You got to come to church. You need to be in church. The Bible says don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You need to be in church. And basically what they were saying was, you need to hear the sermon. You need to come and hear the sermon. Well, this morning, that's not what I'm saying. There's so much more to this assembly life than hearing a sermon, and you need every bit of it. You don't just need to hear a sermon. You need so much more than that. But I'd like us just to notice the context here and a few of these words. As we look at the matter of assembly life and the gathering together of the saints, that we are to draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Have we not done that here in a corporate way already today? Draw near to what? What is the Scripture saying here? It's to draw near to God. It's to draw into that place within the veil, that place that has been made open for us through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And have we not done that very thing here this morning, corporately? We have drawn together. We have drawn near with a true heart unto God. You can do it by yourself, but oh, what a sweet blessing when you do it together. A whole bunch of people together. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And oh, how many times we would give that testimony that we came to the assembly with a struggle going on inside of us, with something that we're wrestling with, and we found our conscience being purged just sitting in the meeting and hearing the singing and hearing the preaching or a word from a brother or a confession from a sister. We found our own conscience being purged because we were there. And our bodies washed with pure water. Somebody can help me what that means later. I don't understand that part. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And I think of assembly life. I think how important it is for this very process of holding fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And my mind goes back to Hebrews chapter 3 there where it says that we must maintain the steadfastness of our confidence all the way to the end. The day that we got converted, the day that we were born again, a confidence came into our heart. There was rejoicing in our heart. There was a steadfastness and a confidence in God. And we're admonished that we are to maintain that confidence. This is one of God's designs for that very confidence to be maintained. Think, we had such a beautiful living illustration of it here right before I got up here. The song was called, "Did It Not Maintain the Steadfastness of Our Confidence in Christ Jesus?" To sing the song with the way we sang it. That is assembly life. God has designed you to be that way. So you go home with a spring in your step because you've been renewed and your assurance has been strengthened in the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation of your soul. It's part of assembly life. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And notice also the next verse here. And let us consider one another. Now it goes on to say to provoke unto love and good works, but let's just look at the word consider one another there first. It means to attentively, watchfully care for one another. Amen. How can you do that if you don't get together? How can you look in the eyes of your brother or in the eyes of your sister if you don't get together? But gathering together affords us that blessed opportunity, the sweet protection of being together with the saints of God. And if something isn't right inside my heart, my brother may see it on my face and say, "Brother, what's wrong? Are you struggling?" And accountability is there. Blessed accountability, protection from a brotherhood and a sisterhood of believers who have all gathered together. Let us consider one another watchfully, carefully, continually. Watch over our brothers and sisters. And then the next part of this verse, I just love it. To provoke unto love and good works. When I read those verses, I always get the picture of an exhorter. You know what an exhorter is? An exhorter comes alongside somebody else and encourages them to do something. Let's go this way. Let's pray more. Let's get together and fast. Let's get together and study the Bible. An exhorter is one who is always provoking somebody on into more of the Christian life. And the context there is a positive context, not a negative one. Oh, how sad if it's a negative one. Somebody going around challenging you all the time. Are you doing this? Are you doing that? But rather, provoking unto love and good works is a positive provoking. It's a stimulating others to love God, to serve Him, to win souls, to guide their families right. And I think of the after service here and how much of that goes on a one-on-one or two-to-two or one-and-five or whatever it may be in small groups. Provoking one another unto love and good works. I tell you, it's a very vital part of assembly life. Oh, would to God that we could raise up dozens and dozens of brothers and sisters with that kind of a spirit in them, a provoking spirit to encourage one another that way. And you know, it only blesses your own heart if somebody comes up to provoke you like that. And that's what your heart is already saying. Amen. It only blesses you more to get somebody to provoke you unto love and good works. Assembly life. Then we go on to the text, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And here we simply see the exhortation that we're not to do what some are doing, but so much the more as you see the day approaching, assembling yourselves together. We see that God, in His wisdom, He knew that we needed these very things that go on in this room. And it's so much more than a sermon. So much more. And can you see it from God's perspective? As God looks on, as God designed assembly life, He saw the exhortation. He saw the provoking. He saw the drawing near together. He sees the worship. He sees the singing. He sees the exhortations. He sees the prayer together. He sees the confessions and all the many things that go on in here. And God, seeing all those things, says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." You need all this. You need it. We all need it. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Last Sunday morning, down in Dallas, Texas, they don't meet down there on Sunday morning. They don't have a building where they can meet on Sunday morning. So they meet on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Then they have a fellowship meal after that, and then they meet again at 7 o'clock in the evening. But Sunday morning, here I sit down there with nothing to do on a Sunday morning. It just about went against my grain. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, here I am sitting at home. I don't know if I ever did that. I need this. I wouldn't want to miss it. I need the singing. I need the preaching. I need my brothers and sisters to encourage me. I need to see their shining faces. I need to see the glow on their faces. I need the singing. I need all those things for my life. I know that I need them. And God looks on and says, He knows that we all need them. And this is not a sermon to get you to come to church. Because I don't think we have a lot of problem with that around here. But look at what it goes on to say. But exhort one another. Assemble together. So much the more. And as you assemble together, exhort one another with Scripture, with encouraging words, with blessings, with challenges, exhorting one another. And then I'd like us to notice the next verse. We could put a why in there, and that's what I did in the margin of my Bible. In verse 25, I wrote, why? Why assemble yourselves together? Why exhort one another? Why so much the more as you see the day approaching? Why? That's what that little word for is there. It's an answer to assumed question of why. And the answer is, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Awesome verse. We need this place. We need this assembly. We need it to be hot around here. We need the blessings to flow. We need it. Every single one of us, we need it. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. We need it. We need to keep one another from being deceived by the deceitfulness of sin, which hardens the heart ever so slowly, 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 slowly. But when you have assembly life, it doesn't happen quite that way. You might have a little hardened heart when you come here on a Sunday morning. You'll be here for a little while and that heart has gotten a little bit hardened. You may not even realize that it's gotten that way until you sit down in the assembly and somebody calls a song and hosannas rise out of the hearts of God's people and the grace of God begins to hover over the people of God. And all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm not where I ought to be. What's wrong? Oh, we need it. We need it, brothers and sisters. Assembly life. Let us be jealous over it. Let us put forth effort for it. Because we all need it, and every one of us need every other one of us. Desperate need in our lives. Well, there's another purpose for assembly life. Turn over to Psalm 145. This is twofold. Praise God that He has designed a way for many of our needs to be met. But that isn't all of God's design for this assembly life. God needs something too. God needs something out of us also. Psalm 145, verse 1 through 12, and we could have picked many places in the Psalms to read this point that I'd like to make, but this one is a favorite of mine. I will extol Thee, my God, O King, and I will bless Thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless Thee, and I will praise Thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise Thy works to another, and shall declare Thy mighty acts. This is a good place to do that verse, isn't it? I will speak of the glorious honor of Thy majesty and of Thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of Thy terrible acts and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy greatness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Why assembly life? Because God needs something. God wants the heartfelt prayers and praises and the honoring and the adoration of His people. And He has designed assembly life as one avenue by which we can do that in a corporate way. God meets with His people when they assemble together in the name of the Lord Jesus, and God needs to hear our hearts of praise and adoration to Him. It's part of assembly life. God has designed it that way. It's a place where men and women meet with the God of heaven, and it's the place where the God of heaven comes down and meets with men and women. It's part of God's design that we gather together like this, and we honor and we glorify and we extol the worthy name of God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God needs that. He wants our praise. The Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praise of His people. And I believe what that simply means is that God hovers down over those who, with purity of heart and heartfelt praise, worship and adore Him. He hovers over them because He inhabits that praise. So we see a twofold purpose for this assembly life. And I would like this morning, having given that introduction, I would like this morning to just continue to turn us away from the mentality that assembly life is where we go to hear a sermon. I hope that we're changing our mind about all that. I hope that our theology is slowly changing, that we no longer think, I'm going to church, I need to hear a sermon. But I trust that our mentality is changing completely to where we realize that this is not just a place where you gather together and hear a good sermon on Sunday morning. Also, I'd like to turn us continually away from the mentality of that there's ministers and that there's laity, and the laity come and they hear the ministers, and the ministers have the responsibility over the service, and they're the ones that carry the burden of the service, and then the laity, all they come and listen to the message that is given. God forbid! May God continue to turn us, and I say it that way because I know what our heart is around here, but may God continue to turn us away from that mentality of clergy and laity, of the preachers and the people, and just make a brotherhood here where we all sense our responsibility, where we all see that we have an active role in what takes place here whenever there is an assembly of God's people. You know, it's interesting to me, as I studied church history, and I studied some about the Puritans, and the Puritan people, they were a powerful bunch of people, the ones that were truly set on God. But the Puritan people, they grew up in an age in England where it was absolute law that you go to church. I mean, everybody showed up at church. It would be like we opened the church house doors and all the neighbors in this whole area would be in here on a Sunday morning. The heathen were all there. The ones that were dedicated to the Lord, they were there. The half-hearted ones, they were there. They were all there. And they didn't have much corporate life because of that. But it's interesting to see what it did to those Puritan preachers. It taught them how to pray. They had a mentality. They had this mentality that I, as a preacher, am responsible for the atmosphere of this meeting today, and I need to pray so that the atmosphere is what it ought to be. And many times they would pray hours and hours and hours before a service. Now that's a blessing and that's good and that's right. But it's not a right thinking for a preacher to have that kind of mentality. Not in the church of Jesus Christ, where we are all priests. Amen?
Yes, right.
But rather, that the whole congregation would sense that responsibility to create an atmosphere of spiritual blessing where the grace of God flows on the people of God. And everyone rises up and says, tomorrow is Sunday, and we need to prepare, and we need to pray. We need the grace of God upon the service. We need the preachers to have the right message. And pray, and pray, and pray in the old time way, the way they used to pray when the power of God came down. Oh, no more powerful service could there be than one where the people of God all sense their responsibility as priests gathering together in a local assembly and prayed for the grace of God to fall upon a meeting on a Sunday morning or whenever it might be. I believe the early church was an assembly of spiritual men and women living under an open heaven, offering spiritual sacrifices unto God by Jesus Christ. That is the way it was. That is the way they assembled. The priesthood of all believers was believed and practiced. And we believe that around here. That's good Bible teaching. The priesthood of all the believers, every one of you is a priest this morning. Well, preparation for assembly life takes place all week long. It takes place all week long. Preparation for assembly life. In the workings of God, in the life of a believer, is preparation for assembling together as God's people. Assembly life ought to be the overflow. That's all. Just the overflow. Where we all gather together here in this building, and maybe your life is overflowing with a struggle. That's all right. Like the brother shared this morning. Maybe your life is overflowing with a struggle. Maybe yours is overflowing with praise. Maybe yours is overflowing with a burden for lost souls. And yours is overflowing with adoration and love for God. Maybe yours is overflowing with extra grace because of the trial that is upon you. Assembly life is just simply the overflow of what God is doing in all of our lives through the week. That's what it ought to be. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing that God would help us to release ourselves from ourselves so that we can bring into the assembly the overflow of our life all week long. If it's been a struggle, it ought to be a place where you can feel free to unload your struggle. If you're burdened about souls, it ought to be a place where you can pass that burden on to the others that are here. Oh, what a blessed revelation that is. Assembly life is simply the overflow of the life of a believer for the last week in their life. Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. An overflow of love. An overflow of praise. An overflow of the battle that you've been in, or whatever it may be. May the Lord deliver us from putting on church on Sunday morning. You know what I'm talking about. May the Lord deliver us from that. Putting on church on Sunday morning. It's time to go to church. This is what we do when we go to church. We do this. We carry our Bibles. We smile. We say praise the Lord, because everybody over charity, they praise the Lord. We raise our hand, because some of the people over there, they raise their hand. That is putting on church. We can be just as dead and formal around here as another dead church can. All you got to do is change the formality. We can do it. You can be just as dead and formal doing this as you can be doing this. May God help us and deliver us from putting on church on Sunday morning. And you know, we all know how to do it. We all know how things go around here. What is said, what expressions are used. All of those things, we know it all and we can put it on. But that's not assembly life. No way. When I think of assembly life, I think of Exodus chapter 36. Let's turn over there. This was recently shared with me and it really blessed my heart. Here in Exodus chapter 36, we're in the context of building the tabernacle. We're just going to break into the middle of the context of building the tabernacle and notice some very interesting things that I believe we can apply this morning to assembly life. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary. Note that little part right there. For the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff that they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Oh, and I think of that in light of the context of what we're speaking about here this morning. That the people of God, for the work of the sanctuary, of the house of the Lord, they bring all their offerings. They all have something to give. They didn't come to get, but they came to give. And there's more than can be given. And finally, the ministers of the Lord must stand up and say, wait, we've got enough. Time is running out. But yet, the overflow is still there. An overflow of praise and one of love and a burden to share and a struggle to bear and all those things brought forth. It's too much. It's too much, Moses said. You brought enough. We've got more than we need. Stay your giving. Oh, what a blessed Sunday that would be. Sunday by Sunday by Sunday. I'm sorry, folks. Time is getting away. Too many people overflowing today. What blessed problems to have. Too many people bubbling over with and indicting a good matter concerning the King. Sorry, folks, but they need to slow this thing down. Time's getting away. More than enough. What a blessing. When I think of assembly life, I think of the Old Testament sacrifices. My mind quickly went back to them because over there in Peter it says that we are a royal priesthood, offering up spiritual sacrifices unto God by Jesus Christ. Amen. So when you think about a priesthood, you immediately go back to the Old Testament and see some of the work that went on and offerings and the worship and the ceremonies that took place there in the tabernacle. Because that's where the priests were. But I think of the offerings. There's the burnt offering and a meal offering and a peace offering. And sin offerings that take place. As I studied them just briefly. The burnt offering is a picture of salvation. It's the whole burnt offering. It's the picture of the type of our Lord Jesus Christ dying on that cross for the sins of humanity. Right. Have we not taken a look at the burnt offering this morning already? Please. Yes, we have. We looked at that burnt offering. We rejoiced at it. We reveled in it. We sang about it. We adored it. We got loose and shouted about it, didn't we? We looked at that burnt offering. It was an offering, a sacrifice. The meal offering. That was the consecration offering. After you offered the burnt offering, after you see what the Lord Jesus has done, and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saved by the Spirit of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, then the very next thing is, to lay all those things out before Him. That's the sacrifice of consecration. That's the meal offering. And truly ought to be that way as we assemble together here. Yeah, it's true, everyone can't stand up and do it publicly, but as we're here together, there ought to be a sacrifice taking place over here in somebody's heart. There ought to be a new dedication taking place over here in this heart and another one back here in this heart while the assembly is together. And yes, there may be one stand and acknowledge His sacrifice and His dedication and consecration to God. The next offering is the peace offering. And that one follows the burnt offering and the meal offering. And it's the praise and thanksgiving and communion offering that is offered to God in the Old Testament. And surely, peace offerings have been rising up to our God this morning. And it ought so to be that way as we gather together week by week. It's a time and an opportunity to offer peace offerings unto God. The sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving and adoration and praise and worship to our God. And yes, even also the sin offering. From time to time, the sin offering needs to be seen in the assembly also, where somebody is convicted of something in their life that is not right, and the offering is made. Maybe they stand to their feet and confess it to the congregation. Or maybe they just do it in their own seat as they're here. They fell into something in the week. And as they gather together on Sunday, they're convicted of their need. And a sin offering is up before the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Wash that thing away in the blood of Jesus. And sin offerings take place in the assembly of the saints of God. When I think about assembly life, I also thought about the Old Testament furniture that was in the tabernacle and the temple. We mentioned the one already, the altar. That's the first one as you come through the tent or the door of the tabernacle. The altar is there where sacrifices are made. Oh, what a blessed opportunity to sit in an assembly like this and offer sacrifices to God. And I believe the next one is the laver where washing takes place. Anybody take a bath yet today? I know I did. I had a little bath this morning. Praise God for a place where you can come and get a bath. That's what the laver was in the Old Testament furniture. It was a place where the priests went before they put on their linen garments and before they put on the ephod. They washed themselves. Praise God. There's a laver. There's a fountain that is open. And people can wash any time and any place. But here, as we're looking at assembly life, there ought to be some baths taken when you gather together. They should be taken before you get here. But if God brings something to your mind while you're here, you just need to take a bath in the laver. How about the table of showbread? The table of showbread is where the priests ate bread. Ate bread. Bread. We know what bread is. Heavenly bread. Good bread. Fresh bread. Jesus Christ. He's the bread of life. And there ought to be eating going on as we gather together week by week. It's a time of eating and drinking the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like He said, except ye eat of my body and you drink of my blood, you have no part with me. And we know that's talking about fellowship with the God of heaven. We know that's talking about eating this word as it's given to us. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to us this morning. Many times we pray that downstairs before we begin. But what we recognize here is that there is a time of spiritual feeding where we eat the bread of life when we gather together in the assembly. Amen. How about the candlestick? We know that the candlestick gives light. It illuminates. Well, that's a beautiful one, isn't it? We come here. Sometimes things look a little gray. Sometimes they look a little dark. You come here. You sit down. You worship. The singing. The prayers. The preaching. The testimonies. All those things. And it illuminates.
And we walk out of the door seeing clearer than we did before we came in. That's what it's all about. There's a candlestick here and it illuminates. And it's every single one of us. It's God's light shining from every single one of us, making a brighter light because we're a corporate expression of it. And then also, I thought about the altar of incense, which is a type of the prayers of the saints. The prayers of the saints. And then I pondered all of them. And I thought, you know what the key ingredient to all of these are? In a spiritual assembly? Fire. Fire! Sacrifices, altars, showbread, candlesticks, altar of incense, fire! You gotta have fire! We need to have fire! There needs to be one burning inside of a heart! You're not supposed to come and get one, you're supposed to bring one! And God bless you if you're struggling this morning. I'm not trying to beat you down. If you're here this morning and you need one and you came to get one, God bless you. We're glad you're here. That's part of the way God meets people's needs. But God has a higher plane to live on than that. You're supposed to bring a fire along with you. Oh, blessed is that assembly where the people of God stoke the old fire on Saturday night or Sunday morning and gather together to burn. Yes. Blessed is that assembly, oh, heavenly assembly, when the people of God gather together with a fire burning in their hearts. Yes. And you know, you think about it. You don't need to plan anything then. If you come with a fire burning in your heart, it may be an altar of incense. It may be an altar of sacrifice. It may be the altar. It may be the candlestick. All kinds of different expressions come forth. But the big thing is, make sure there's a fire burning in your soul. Then there'll be plenty of sacrifices offered as priests unto God by Jesus Christ. You have to have the fire burning within. Well, preparation. And the next few things that I'd like to give, I'm just going to give them in light of a Sunday morning assembly here. I do believe that preparation should be taking place all week long. But let's face reality. Sometimes you need to shake off the business and shake off the cares and shake off the cows and shake off the fields and all those things and come here. And let's face it, facts are facts. You have to do that on purpose. It doesn't just fall away. Your mind is full of all these other things. Saturday evening, brothers and sisters, when the mind is like that on Saturday evening, it's time to lay things aside and shake it off. But so many times, here's what happens in our mind. We think, "Boy, am I glad it's Sunday. Get all this stuff and shake it off on Sunday." No, that ain't the right way. You're not supposed to come here to shake it off. You're supposed to shake it off and come here. Amen. There's a big difference, isn't there? So, I don't know what your schedule is. We have different schedules in this room, either Saturday evening or Sunday morning. I believe it's good and right and fitting and loving to shake all those things off and get that fire burning in your soul. You know, like it is when you go home, come with it burning. It's good, it's right, it's fitting, and it's even loving to all the rest to come that way. If you don't prepare your heart, you will not get the same thing that you will if you prepare your heart. Come as a giver, not a taker, to the assembly. I think about prayer in preparation for assembly life. And I know that everyone cannot do this, and I'm not saying that everyone can. But I know that there are a few who spend much time in prayer concerning this meeting on Sunday morning. I know that it's that way. I found them here at the church in days gone by. Not here for 20 minutes, not here for an hour, but maybe two or maybe three, pleading and begging with the God of heaven that He would shower His blessings on the meeting tomorrow morning. We begin our preparation for assembly life in prayer, earnest prayer, effectual, fervent prayer before the God of heaven, because it's just like the song says, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around, says the song. So we pray for God's blessings and God's wisdom and God's direction. Some pray more than others pray. But oh, that all would pray for this meeting when we gather together. Then there's corporate prayer also. As we assemble downstairs, I call it the room full of beggars. Where the beggars go at about 8:30 or 20 to 9 every Sunday morning. The beggars go down there and they beg bread unto the Father who gives all the bread. That's a very important part of preparing for the service. And then as we go into the service, I'd just like to go through a few things here that I believe will be helpful to all. I think about worship. It was brought to our attention again. Well, it was brought to our attention in the Bible school week by Brother Eli that worship, the word worship means to kiss. And Brother Champlin just brought it out again on Thursday evening as he was preaching out of Psalm 2. Kiss the Son. I wrote it in my Bible. Worship. That means worship. It's more than singing the songs. It's a lot more than just singing the songs. Praise God for the singing of the songs. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, there is another level that is a sweeter level than just singing the songs. And it's called worship. It's where we release our spirit to worship and praise and adore the God of heaven. It's called worship. And many times, God's people don't know how to do it. They're so self-conscious of what others would think if anybody's looking. They don't do it. I know there are some in this room. You're still staid. You're still staid. You're still stiff. You sing the songs. And I'm glad for the singing of the songs. But there is a higher level, and it's called worship. It's when you forget about your brother and you forget about your sister and you're just before the God of heaven in your own soul and you're worshiping and you're praising and you're adoring Him through song. Amen. Praise God. God has, through the inspiration of many writers, He's given us many songs whereby we can release our spirit and our emotions to love our God. Yeah. How do you kiss the Son? With a dead emotion. I don't know how you can do it. Right. Worship. It's a very integral part of assembly life. When we learn to release our spirit in praise and adoration to the God of heaven. Wholeheartedness. Wholehearted, pure-hearted praise and worship. You know something that I've noticed? And I don't notice it by looking around, but I notice it in different places where I go to preach, and some here also. There are people who yet sit in this room when a song is called, and they are not singing with a wholeheartedness. Wholehearted singing. How can you sing wholehearted singing in a monotone way that nobody else can hear? I tell you, I don't think you can do it. Wholehearted. And many times, I believe that many of us are missing one of the greatest blessings of assembly life because we have not learned to release our spirit in wholehearted worship and praise to God while we sing the songs. I mean, let's just go back to it again. What was that song? 925. I mean, some of us, we got some mileage out of 925 this morning. My Father is rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth
of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. Now, how do you sing that in a monotone, half-hearted way? I don't see how you could do it and be born again. I once was an outcast, stranger on earth, a sinner by choice, and an alien by birth. But I've been adopted, my name's written down, an heir to a mansion, a robe, and a crown.
Hallelujah.
You see, God has inspired holy men and women in days gone by, and some even now today, to write these songs to give us an avenue to release our spirit to love and adore and worship our God. And it pleases God when we do it. But honestly, some of us are so self-conscious, we can hardly do it. And that is self-centeredness.
That's right.
That's what it is. Worship. It's a vital part of assembly life. Well, let's go on. We talk about prayer. We had prayer again. But now it's prayer in a room. Corporate prayer. Well, I think pretty well everybody understands this, but I'll say it for those that maybe don't. When the brother gets up here to pray his prayer, we're not all just listening while he prays his prayer. That's not what God wants. God wants every one of us, pure-hearted one of us, to enter into the prayer that the brother prays. And I'm not saying there should be a roar that comes out of the congregation, but there ought to be that heart that wells up and enters in to the prayer that is prayed at the beginning of a service or the end of the service or whatever it is. So then it becomes not one brother praying, but 400 brothers and sisters lifting their hearts to God. I'm sorry, with the children, it's not 400 brothers and sisters. But the point being that it's a corporate expression of incense going up to God. There's just one brother leading it, but all are raising incense unto God, and God is smelling it all if all are praying. And He loves the smell of it. Prayer. Effectual. Fervent prayer. When I think about the preaching part of the service, and I've heard it, I've seen it written from time to time, that preaching is worship. And I tell you, I believe that the writer was right. That preaching can be just as much of an awesome, worshipful attitude in the assembly as the time when we were praying or the time when we were singing. Let me give you a secret. I'll give you a preacher's secret. I don't believe in keeping them. But I'll give you a preacher's secret. You are the ones that draw out of the heart of the one that stands behind this pulpit. Your hearts draw out of the heart of the one that stands behind this pulpit. If you're drawing, if when you're watching, you're drawing, if your heart is attentive and it's hungry and it's drawing, and you're praying while you're drawing, there's going to be more come out of the vessel that stands behind this pulpit. Isn't that right, brother?
Yes, amen.
It's that way. And that means that every one of us are missing some blessing if we're thinking about the cows, looking out the window, thinking about that business decision, or whatever it may be. It hinders what God wants to do in this service. It does. Listen, I'll give you an example of it. Every year, I take some young people to Africa. And there's something about those African people that they draw things out of you. I don't know what it is, their hunger or what it is about them, but there's something about them that they draw things out of you that you didn't even know were in there. Take young men over there that have never stood before a congregation before and put them over there and they come back preachers. Things get drawn out of them that they didn't even know were in there. Isn't that right, some of you young men that have gone? That's the way it is. The congregation has a lot to do with what comes off of this pulpit. It's not just that preacher.
who's got to pray and study and get a message and put it all together and give it. I tell you, it's not so. Many times on a Sunday morning when the sermon is over, I think, I need to go back and write down some of those things because they weren't in my notes. And I know it's the same with Brother Aaron and Brother Mose. Things come, and they come because you draw them out. We look at you when we preach, and your spirits draw out of us things that we didn't even know of. Oh, glory. Let's do it. Let's get jealous over assembly life. Then I thought of the order of our meetings, family verses and songs. Seems like to some maybe a silly thing or not really valuable, but I tell you, there have been many times that I sat here on this front bench and the family verses and songs did something inside my heart that changed the message that I gave, changed the slant of the message that I gave. God did it through some little children quoting a little poem and a family singing a song. I tell you, God is, He wants to use every one of us. He has work for us to do. And if we see it that way and we get a vision of this corporate blessing that God wants to bring upon us, oh, I think we're in for sweeter days. And I'm not complaining about the days now. Don't get me wrong. It's sweet around here. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. But let's press on the upward way. Let's not be satisfied where we are. But onward and upward. And then I think of the open sharing that takes place after a message. Many times, open sharing. Somebody adds to the message. Somebody gives a word of balance or an exhortation, a praise, a testimony, a confession, a struggle, a blessing, a prayer request. All those things are an integral part of the service and the assembly life that we have. All of them. Take some of that away and something is missing. I wonder how many times, and maybe the other preachers could verify this too, but I wonder how many times after a meeting was over with, and you know, we get to fellowshipping afterwards, a brother would come up and say, you know something I thought of while you were preaching, and they'll give me a story or illustration. And I'd say, brother, why didn't you share that? That was right on. Well, I wasn't sure and I didn't want to. And I think, come on! Some of you guys out there's things bubbling on the inside of you, but because of self-consciousness, you don't bring them up. And there are things that add weight to the message and verify a truth that has been given many, many times. Now, I must say, on the other hand, there are those who sometimes zealously just get to their feet and say something that doesn't flow at all. But I'm not pouring cold water on anybody. We are moving in a direction where there's some spontaneity in the congregation. Not just church, you know. Sit down, sing, stand up, sing, sit down, kneel, pray, sit up, listen to preacher. No, that's not what we want. Spontaneity in the assembly. Then I think also of the fellowship after the service, which around here it lasts an hour to an hour and a half. Bless God. A vital part of the service. We can't say that church is over. It's a vital part of the service. An exhorting of one to another and blessing one another and loving one another and greeting one another with a kiss of charity and words of blessings and counsel and all those things that take place around here for that hour to an hour and a half. A vital part of assembly life. And you may sit and say, well, I'm not the preacher. What do I have to prepare for? You could bless a dozen people while you're here. If you'd come with a fire burning in your soul, you could be a blessing to a dozen. What an opportunity. Recently, in a meeting where I was, it was a Sunday evening and we had a little service, and the service got over about 8:30. And the moderator got up and closed the meeting and sat back down, and nobody left. They all just sat there.
Nobody was in charge. Nobody was giving any direction. Everybody just sat there. It happened a couple times during Bible school too. Dismissed the Bible school class and everybody just sat there. Nobody wanted to leave. But all the people, they just sat there. And then all of a sudden, one sister opened up her mouth and gave a word of praise to God. And another brother shared a prayer request. And this one sister broke down crying over a need in her life and confessed it and asked for prayer. And another brother stood and led everybody else in prayer for the sister who had a burden. And then somebody called a song and we sang a song. And then somebody else shared a burden and somebody shared a blessing. How that her husband had been transformed in the last month and she don't even know the man. He's so different. And this went on until 9:00. Oh, it was so sweet. On the way home, one of the sisters said to me, "Brother Denny, I got a question for you. You know what happened back there tonight? Is that okay?" I said, "Is that okay? That's church. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what we're aiming at." "Oh, okay. Well, I remember some of that in my past, but I wasn't sure if it was okay or not." Well, it's okay. Every joint supplying that which is lacking in the rest of the body. That's the way we want it. That's idealism. But let's press under the idealism. It's beautiful. Well, I think I'm done. What a blessing. What a blessing to talk about this subject to a bunch of people who want it. And I know that's so. I know that I'm not talking to a group of brothers and sisters who don't want it. I'm not breaking down any barriers in anybody's mind this morning. I know that's what you want. What a blessing to bring a message when everybody wants it, or most everybody. Let us fall on our knees before God together and ask Him for more of this blessing as we pray together. Our Father in heaven, You're rich. Riches untold. Lord, we come to You. We come to You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we thank You for the way that You're working in the life of our church. God, we confess our needs before You this morning. We confess our need for more spontaneity. We confess our need, dear God, of more prayer. Lord, we confess our need of not preparing, not shaking things off like we should. Lord, we bring these things before You this morning. We ask You to cleanse us, Lord. Wash us, dear God. And I pray, Father, You fill us with a holy responsibility for this assembly life that we have. Father, we thank You for the sweet blessings that are here. But God, I know, dear Lord, we're just about operating at 50%. I know that, God. I know there are many more here that need to be released, dear God, that they can worship and praise You. I know there are many more here, dear God. They're afraid of themselves. They're afraid of their voice, dear Lord. God, I just commit these things into Your hands and we pray together corporately. Yes. Father, grant to us this blessing, yes, this New Testament church life. Oh, Father, make us a people, a holy priesthood, dear God, who gather together and offer spiritual sacrifices unto Thee by Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank You this morning that You made a way for this to happen through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Blessed be Your name, Lord. Bless You, Lord, for the precious blood of Jesus and His broken body that has made a way for man to be released and set free to worship and praise and minister one to another. Oh God, we just commit the further service into Your hands and pray that You'll make it just the way You want it to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.